I grew up in this church. I came here when I was 5 years old. And I was a member for 24 years. Mind you, I wasn't a member at 5 years old yet. But anyway, I attended this church till I was, 30, and then moved on. And the last 22 years, I've been a member at CLA in Langley, Christian Life Assembly. So, and then in between, there was another church that I was at 13 years. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. I remember pretty young, not a child, but in my teens already, I started praying and asking God. I says, send a revival to our church. Send a revival to this city, to our country. And I've been praying it ever since. And I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting. Many of you have done the same. And that's what I'm going to speak about this morning. But this one's going to dig deep. And I agonized a little bit with this, whether I should and how I should go about this. And I asked the Lord, I said, are you sure you don't want me to talk about this or this or this? And no, I just felt Holy Spirit said, you speak this. Because that's what every church needs right now. We need God to revive us back to a freshness. We need the Lord. And the Lord wants us fresh. He wants us revived. Because that's the only way we're going to affect this world. So, at CLA in 1998, I'm going to use it as an example a little bit because it's the only revival I've ever been a part of. And it was amazing. A lot of you know about it, but a lot of you don't. And you probably don't know a lot of this inside stuff that I'm going to tell you. So anyway, back then there was a revival for about 3 to 5 years, just an estimate. But it started one Sunday morning. Pastor Brent, who was the pastor at that time, got up and he spoke. And the title of his message was, Why We Will Not Have a Revival in Canada. He got the attention of the people right away. And he shared 10 points, and he took 45 minutes to share those points. And I'm going to share those points really quickly because I want to say other things too. But this is from Brent's sermon. And after that sermon, something happened. It was pretty incredible. I'll share in a moment. Why revival will not come to Canada? And the reason why, point number one, people do not fear God. He's talking about all people and people in the church too. Point number two, the early church did fear God, if you remember. The Bible makes it really clear. Point number two, we have our own idols, the things that we like. Point number three, he said, people love their family more than they do God. And that was what? But Jesus said, if you love me, or if you love your family and your brothers and your sisters and all these and that, more than you love me, that's no good. He didn't say we aren't to love our families, but God has to be number one. He has to be number one. Point number four. We love and we worship leisure and entertainment. We love to spend lots of money on this because it's so good. Our flesh loves it. But the problem is, it's stealing so much time from what we should be doing, spending time with our Savior. And our love for Him must be much greater than any other love. And this is a really big problem. Got to remember, this was 24 years ago, this sermon. Today, it's a lot worse. It's just a lot worse. Point number five, we justify ourselves. He said that we're like theological tinkerers. We modify our beliefs to feel good. We believe what we want to believe. That is a problem. Because we're not allowed to do that. It doesn't work. We have to believe what Jesus said. We have to believe what the Word says. And we can't tinker with it. We can't come up with our own theology. Oh, we can. But we just might end up in the forest or in the ditch. Point six, we're self-righteous. We're blind and blind to our own sins. When people are self-righteous, they don't see the wrong in themselves. They only see the wrong in others. That's a huge problem. And this problem is in the church also. I'm not talking about this church specifically. I'm talking about generally all churches. Because we're people. We're just people. Aren't we? And we make mistakes. And we're prone to wander, just like sheep. And sometimes we get lost. And we need a Savior. We love this world and the things of this world more than we love God. That's true. Have you ever done it? Sometimes we do. Might be momentarily. Point number eight. Grace has become a license to sin. People live as close to hell as possible and just hoping they can get away with it. When we're supposed to be living as close to possible as God and staying away from the filth. Huge difference, isn't there? We have become mockers and doubters. We don't believe the stories, the testimonies that we hear and we see. Something's happened to the faith inside. When you're at that point. Point number 10. We won't call sin, sin. If you're okay with sinning and having a life, you are backslidden. You are in trouble. Believe me. That's what the Bible tells us. We're dying on the inside. If sin is okay and you to carry it inside you, there's something seriously wrong. This is another point. When you hear a good sermon and you say, that was a good sermon, but you don't allow the preaching or the teaching to touch you or change you, and you walk away and just go about your life as before. These are the reasons Pastor Brent gave the church that morning. And I just thought of something myself, and it connects to grace. The grace part, license to sin, and so on. Isn't it something that we can watch TV as a society, and we can watch somebody being murdered, and we call that entertainment, or we can see a couple in bed, and we say, well, that's nothing, or we see a revenge movie, and we might be excited, well, just get that guy. You know? And on and on and on we go. And we're entertained by it. Our God isn't entertained by it. And He doesn't love it. So we shouldn't either. It's called sin. Do we accept it? That's up to you. You have the choice. Do you know the Hollywood rates their movies the way they do, general to R? And it goes by age. So when you become an adult, now you're allowed or you're good to watch R-rated movies. God rates movies, if he rated movies, he doesn't watch movies, but if he rated movies, he would rate them righteous or unrighteous. They'd be holy or unholy. Because they're based on character also, not age. After that morning service, or right after the preaching of that sermon, pastor said, if there's those who want to come up for prayer, and you want to see change in your life, or you want to see change in this church or in this city, come up for prayer. And something amazing happened. The whole congregation basically went forward. It was about 1,200 people. I think maybe 100 people left sitting. I don't know. It was amazing. The altar was full. The stage was full. The aisles were full. And people were weeping and yelling, crying to God, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Forgive us of our sin. I'm talking about church people. Church people. I'm talking about people like us. And they were weeping. God watched. That made God happy. Next thing that happened is a couple brothers in the church after that went to Brent and said, Pastor, and says, could we come here during the week and in the morning and pray? I said, sure, of course. And they gave him a key, and they came. They started at 6 in the morning, and they started with two guys. And before you know it, other people said, well, we need to pray. We need to start. You need to change. And other guys started coming, and other people started coming. And this went on and on and on. And then when I heard about it, and we were attending there, and one of the leaders of the church, close friend of mine, godly man, he comes up to me and says, Yerky, have you thought of coming to a morning prayer meeting? Things are just amazing. You need to come and see this. I said, well, what's going on? He said, just come, see it. God is moving. I showed up there in the morning, and there was 400 people at 6 o'clock in the morning, worshiping God, lifting their voices and crying and worshiping and praising him and on their knees and I'd never seen anything like it. There was so much noise in that building. I go, wow, this must be a little bit like heaven, you know? And I'm going, this is awesome. But at the same time, I felt convicted when I walked in that room. The Holy Spirit's presence was so powerful. Right away, I started to turn inwards. I don't have this. I haven't had this for a long time. Lord, I need this. I went on my knees and I said, God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my wrongdoing. I want the real McCoy. I want the real thing. I want you. I want your Holy Spirit. Because all the rest of it doesn't work. I want you, Lord. I want this. I remember weeping in the benches. And I was so caught up into it. And I said, yes, finally I see something I've been praying about. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. The next thing that happened, some guys said, well, you know what, guys, I went to Brent and says, could we start coming to pray at 5 o'clock? Because we can't make it there at 6. We've got to be at work. And he said, well, sure, why not? So there were people coming at 5 to 6 o'clock to pray because they couldn't get to they had to go to work by 7. I don't know how many people went there. That was a bit early for me. That was the first shift. The second shift kicked in at 6. It was awesome. God is doing something. You say, well, I could never do that. Oh, yes, you could. When the Holy Spirit's presence comes down on you, there's nothing else you'd rather do than to go into that presence and be there and fellowship with Him. But I understand, when things are a little dead, it's hard to do. And I'm not pointing fingers at anything, because I've felt the same thing in my life. Hundreds of people praying. No wonder something happened. And every person, one at a time, as they came, they all got convicted of their sin as they walked into that room. And so would happen here too. People would walk into this room, they would be convicted of their sin. When the Holy Spirit's presence is so powerful, just like it was in the Bible times, it would be today. Nothing has changed. Our God has not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. The power is the same, and God has the same desires, and His will is the same. That we are full of the Holy Spirit, we walk in His Spirit, and we're full of His power. That has always been the case, and it still is. Sundays were amazing, seriously amazing. I waited all week to go to church. Do you worry all week to go to church? It could be. And you probably have. I know I have. The joy in the time of worship. There were tears of joy, I remember. Looking over, people would be worshiping, and they would be, some were speaking in tongues and singing, and some were praying. I would sometimes cry and weep and pray and then start praying for somebody all during the worship. It was more than just singing a song. It was something else. It really was. The Holy Spirit's presence was powerful because we were praying and we repented and we turned from our wicked ways. Because that's what it is in God's sight when we have sin. It's wicked. You say, well, I did. I haven't sinned so little. I've sinned just a little. I might just have a little bit of sin. It's wicked. I don't care if it's big or small. And nor does God. So there was some negative things that happened also, but I'll touch on them real quickly. You see, when we had these services and the Holy Spirit was powerful and people wanted to come up for prayer, well, a lot of the people in the back seats and stuff would get up and go, and the ladies would leave their purses in the benches. Well, the thieves showed up. And thieves would steal purses and rob, come there. Well, the church figured it out pretty quick, and the pastor said, ladies, when you come up for prayer, you take your purse with you. Don't leave it in the benches. The thieves would go through the church as the other people were praying, and they would steal equipment, overhead projectors, anything they could grab. You see, revival brings all kinds with it. It brings the people of God, it brings in the fakes, and it brings in thieves, it brings in everything. Those who see an opportunity, even, to make money. It's sad, but I'll be honest with you. When we pray for revival, know what you're praying for, because you're going to get all kinds coming. We had three guys come there, and they were the holy ones, you know. Showed up in the front seat every single Sunday in Fire and Freedom. I have to say this because it was funny. And every time we got the prayer going, there was people who would come up to the altar, they'd go off into the corner, and they'd pray for each other. And the guy would fall over in power of the Spirit, you know. And he'd get up, and he'd pray for the other guy, and the other guy would pray, and he'd fall over. They did this every Sunday. The routine was exactly right on time, everything. Finally, one of our leaders walked up and says, you guys, stop what you're doing immediately. This isn't of God. You guys are here putting on a show, and you're doing it for your own glory. This has nothing to do with God. We want you to leave now. And he told him to leave. The guys never came back. It was so disgusting to watch. Does that happen? It can happen. But this was not God moving. These guys were putting on their own little show. And they're just trying to get people to watch. So all kinds of things can happen. I think one of the funniest things that happened was Pastor Brent's daughter made a comment about revival. And she was, I think, around 10, 11 years old. She comes in one day during the Fire and Freedom service, you know, or at the end of it, and says, "Dad, I love the smell of revival." And he says, "Well, Laura, what's the smell of revival?" She says, "Oh, that tobacco smell." You see, there are so many people coming to church, and before the service, they'd be outside smoking, and all the smoke was pouring in, and it was coming through the ventilation system. And she says, I love the smell of revival. So Brent said, we had to alter that a little bit. We had to change where the people can smoke because we didn't want to be known for this either. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, some of the negative stuff, and now that good stuff. We saw healings. We saw marriages restored, relationships restored, people feeling the need to pull. There's one lady, I got to tell you this one. There was one lady, she's driving her car, and all of a sudden, she's just not a Christian. And she says, it just felt like inside somebody says, go into that parking lot, go into the church. She pulled into the church. She sat in a service, and after the service, she went up to the altar, gave her life to Christ. And now, a few weeks later, she's telling the testimony in the baptismal tank. And it was amazing. She says, you know, I was driving my car and all this and that, and I drove in the parking lot. I had no idea why, but I did drive by the church all the time, and I wonder what goes on in there. So I said, yeah, I'll go take a look. Got so convicted, went up, but she says, I sat down, and there was a little bit of somebody introduced her to somebody, and they talked and said, and you know what happened next? The next thing that happened was karaoke hour started. There was words up on the screen, and we started singing. Everybody in the church laughed because she thought it was karaoke hour. We were worshiping God. We don't know what people think when they come into our churches. They have no clue what we're doing. They don't have no clue. Karaoke hour. That was something else. And now she's given her testimony, and she got baptized. She's saved. It was just amazing. It was amazing to listen to these testimonies week after week. And I'm telling you, it was great. So why was this stuff happening? No, I got to go back one. I missed something. Very important. So we saw this among the adults, right? But we saw it also among our children in Sunday school. It was amazing. Those years, our attendance rose from approximately 500 to 800 children attending every Sunday. 800. I was a teacher. I was involved in it with many other people because you need many people when you got that many kids. It was awesome. My class, we did this thing that they didn't do there, but when I went there and they had a need, so the Sunday school teachers teach all year, summer come, they take a break. So they were asking if somebody would volunteer to do like the summer program, 2 months for the kids. Well, I don't know what happened to me, but I lift my hand up and got involved and I says, yeah, I'll do it. So I said, but I like to do it like children's church. So we did that. And they were amazing. I mean, they were amazing. It was amazing inside in the big sanctuary, but it was amazing also in children's church. I saw kids filled with the Holy Spirit, 7 years to 10 years old, 10, 11 years old, filled with the Holy Spirit. One Sunday, as we were teaching and getting ready to teach, I was leading it, and I had a team of six in my class. It was a big class, 75, 80 kids. It's like a small church. And little kids, right? All of a sudden, I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit say, Yerky, ask the kids if there's anybody here of the children. Now, this seemed weird to me, but I said, Lord, I'll do it. And said, ask them if there's any intercessory prayer warriors among you. 25 hands go up out of the group, one third. I'm going, amazing. I'm thinking, what now? The Holy Spirit says, take them off to the prayer room. I said, can you guys get up? We're going to go to the prayer room and do some praying. right in the middle of our service, or just before the preaching started. And we went in there, we walked into the prayer room, and there's 25 of them. I says, do you all know what we're going to do next? And if you don't, lift up your hand. Five kids lifted their hands and said, we don't really know what you're talking about. I says, okay, you guys go back to the service. And they went to the service, the children's church service. Then there was the 20 left. I says, you guys know what to do? Uh-huh. I said, go for it. They dropped onto their knees, and they erupted into tongues and praying. And there was a fight going on like I'd never seen. I'm going, my goodness. These guys are really prayer fighters, warriors. And the Lord was speaking to me. He said, son, you have no idea what's going on in my church. You're showing me stuff. And I'm going, hallelujah. Children, 7 years old, 10 years old, praying like you, like so seriously, so in the spirit, in tune. And I was listening, going around, teaching, Lord Jesus, bring healing, Lord Jesus, bring salvation, Lord, in here and in there in the classroom, Lord. Bring anointing in those who are speaking right now in the class, just going on and on and on. I couldn't write a better script. It was awesome. It was just totally awesome. I let it go on for about 20 minutes, half hour. I said, okay. I said, let's go. Let's go back into the class. Went in there. And it was just amazing. The Holy Spirit moving. And why? Why was this happening? I'll tell you why. Because mom and dads humbled themselves before Jesus. Grandmas and grandpas humbled before Jesus, and they confessed their sins to him, and they cleaned house before God. And their children followed. They saw what mom and dad were doing. They saw the change in mom and dad, and they wanted the same. And that's how it works. And the church was praying in one mind and in one spirit. Forgive us, heal Canada, heal our church, Lord. Bring revival. I saw children fall over in my class from the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. It's amazing. Can God do that? Can the Holy Spirit do that with children? Oh, yeah, he can. We saw so many baptisms in church. I took an estimate. I can say easy in those years we saw 300, but I'm going to guess closer to 500 baptisms. Every single Sunday. I can remember maybe two or three Sundays that I remember that there wasn't a baptism. But there was at least one people, most of the time five, lots of times 10, and I remember 15 and even more. I mean, they just kept coming around the corner, getting more baptized, more and more and more. It was awesome. Testimonies were awesome. You know what? It ignites you inside when you see people being saved. There is a blessing that comes of leading somebody to Christ that's not describable. It's a different blessing altogether that if you've never experienced it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you lead somebody to Christ and they accept Christ, there is such a blessing to you. It's hard to explain, but it is just pure joy and delight. Salvations, so many, I couldn't even tell you. A lot of times people from other churches would bring their friends there, and they'd get saved, and then they'd take them back to their own church. But good, you know, spread the fire, that was great. And this went on and on and on. So it was really good. One time, one Sunday, it was amazing. I remember the altar was opened and people were invited to come. If you've never come before and you want to receive Christ in your life, we invite you now to come. And I counted 50 people at the altar. And then the pastor says, now, prayer team, you come up and pray for them. So these were real. Okay? And the prayer team came, one prayer person for each person up there. So now there's 100. So it wasn't the prayer team went up. These people were searching for Jesus. I can't put into the words what I felt. It's just so humbling, and so it makes you so happy that people are finding Jesus. And you know what? Every single one of you want to see the same thing. Every single one of you. Riku, you want to see the same thing. Yarno, Zach, I can go through all of your names. You all want the same thing. We desire this. Not just for ourselves, but we want to see our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our families come to Christ and be saved. Revival starts with one person, and that's you. One person's heart changing at a time. Now, there could be 50 in one service happening at the same time. I'm not saying that. But it's one heart at a time anyway. But it's not easy, because you have to die to yourself. You have to die to self. Are you willing to die to self? I remember talking to some fella, and I said, you know, the answer is dying to self. I was talking to a Christian fella. And, you know, we die to ourselves, then we're dying to this world. And we're living more for Jesus. You know what he said to me? I said, I don't want to do that. I like going to the movies. I like doing this, and I do like doing that. And he likes also going to church. Theological tinkering. You can do what you want, and God accepts you. It's not true. You can't do that. When we die to ourselves, we become more alive in Him. It's just the truth. The Holy Spirit will help us with this. And I'm just going to wrap it up. Last page here. And God will help us with this. Jesus said, when somebody asked him, what's the greatest thing that we can do? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, and your mind. But Jesus also said this, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. In truth. We have to be in truth. There can't be nothing false in us. There can be no darkness in us. There can be no dirt in us. Then we are walking in truth. And then we can worship a mighty God in truth. And he will hear us. But do you think he cares about your worship when there's sin in your heart? He's not listening. Because it's impossible for a holy God to have fellowship with darkness, with filth and dirt. It just can't happen. I'm sick and tired of going to churches that don't say sin is sin. It's so soft nowadays, it makes me sick. These things have to be said straight. They have to be said in love. Truth exposes sin. And when you go before God, the first thing that happens is the sin gets exposed. And it forces you, if you want to be close to God, it forces you, get rid of it. Deal with it. Ask God's forgiveness. Now I'm going to read the Bible. Some of you are thinking, this guy doesn't even read the Bible anymore. Well, here we go. I'll read the Bible. Just keep everybody happy. It says in 2 Chronicles, a very famous verse, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, his people, are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, different direction, stop doing that stuff, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Hallelujah. What a beautiful promise. If my people will humble themselves and they will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I know it hurts. It hurts. But it's the truth. Sin is wicked in God's eyes. And if you want to get things done, and you want to have God in your life, and you want to see results in your personal life and in your friends' lives, you got to do it God's way. There is only one way, and Jesus is that way. He showed us, and that is to walk right and pure and holy. And we can do it in the Spirit's power. And when we blow it, we can go back and say, God, forgive us. And our relationship is restored. We are still Christian, but our fellowship gets restored once we repent and we change our ways with God. We turn from our wicked ways. The fellowship gets restored between us and God. When I sin, I don't get thrown out of the family. Not right away, anyway. If I don't ever repent, well, then it certainly can happen. But when we sin, something breaks. Something breaks between us and God, and that's the fellowship. You can't fellowship with God with sin. He doesn't accept it. You want to believe it, you can do what you want, but you're not getting through, and you know it. It's like a wall. It's like a ceiling. It stops. But when you get things right with God, it all opens up. Okay, here we go. The last point I want to make. We want the world to change, but it starts in our hearts first before we can go changing any world. There was this guy who was married to a Christian woman. I'm just about done. A couple more minutes. Hang in there. I want you to hear this, because this is important. A guy was married to a Christian woman. And the woman asked, you know, they'd pray together, and the husband wasn't that keen on praying, but in time he says, yeah, sure, let's pray. And he would pray with his wife, but he wasn't a Christian. And then there were struggles. He told his wife, let's pray, you pray. And kind of made her pray. That's okay. They did. And in time, she said, why is it you won't, you know, receive Jesus into your life and let God make the changes, the beautiful change in your heart? Listen to this, what his answer was. What do you mean change? I've got 7 Christian friends who I hang around with constantly, and they live just like I do. What change do I need to make? They live like me. Let that just rock your boat a little bit. Do we live like the world? Do we try and blend into this world when the Bible says we shouldn't? We should stick out like sore thumbs, like a peculiar people? Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. No, we don't. But we need to stand for the truth. This thing is something that really touched me. There has to be a change in us, in Christians. The world is chipping away at us and making us desensitized constantly, more and more and more and more. Oh, you can't judge. You got to accept everybody. You got to do all this. You got to do that. You know, oh, you can't say that. That offends somebody. You have sin. That's offensive. Yeah. They hated Jesus, and they're going to hate you too. They crucified Jesus. Hopefully they don't do that to us. But where do you draw the line? People are attracted to Jesus. They're attracted to your lifestyle. If you're living for Jesus, they can see it and they want it. And one more thing, quick story, and please, this is not about me, but it happened to us as a family. We lived in Surrey, and we had a neighbor across the street, and we attended here, at that time. One day, the neighbor came across the street on a Saturday, and he says, Yerky, he was an older man, he's probably 65, and he says, Yerky, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. He says, can we sit down? I said, sure. He says, yeah, so we went down. I said, let's go in the basement. You know, it was sunny, and I thought, let's go down there in the shade. He said, yeah. He sat on the sofa, and he says, you know, I've been watching you and your family for 4 years. I watch you guys all the time because you're our house across the street. And I had to ask you, something special about you guys, and I don't know what it is. Can you tell me what it is? I said, man, if I don't see this opportunity, I'm blind. And I said, Al, if there's anything you see special on us, believe me, we're just people, but we love Jesus. And he's filled our heart with love, and we want to love others, and we want to love each other, and he's amazing. And he loves you, and so I made him the offer. I says, would you be interested in knowing Jesus and receiving him into your life? Oh, yeah. I want the same thing. He gave his life right there. I had no idea he was watching us. We just mowed our lawn outside. We played with the kids outside once in a while. We went to church. We came back from church. We worked on the house. We did normal stuff. But we love Jesus. And when you love Jesus, people see it. The more you love them, the more they'll see it. I guarantee it. And I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just saying, it all has an effect. Man, I got through. Praise God. Would you bow your heads?